Voyage.
What's the time? 8:54. Okay, get down low. Don't let him see you. As soon as he passes, we make a run for it. Joan and I staked out Gajahara's house for several days to find a window of time where he was gone and we could break in and find my medical prescription bottle. We had put Trig, my son, on spy duty the night Gag had revealed he had the bottle. Trig was able to use his binoculars to see into Gag's bedroom from our roof and reported back that Gag had put the pill bottle into a safe deposit box behind a painting in his upstairs bedroom. What Trig couldn't figure out was the damn code Gag used to get into the safe deposit box. His fingers were too quick to decipher anything. Every evening, Gag would pull the bottle out of his safe and sit at his desk by the window and dial his phone. We think he was trying different combinations of phone numbers to figure out which pharmacy the prescription was from. It'd been 3 days and he'd had no luck. I remembered that Gag had told me he had been advised by his lawyer to stay home and out of trouble until his arraignment. That meant Gag was basically home at all hours of the day and night, which made planning a break-in virtually impossible to plan, except for the taquito runs. We noticed every night at 9 p.m. Gag left his house. We followed him and ended up at the same gas station where he saw us with Betty. After 3 nights of this, we decided that night 4 was the night we would get the bottle. Somehow.
He's moving. He's out the door. Duck!
Joan and I were in the bushes catty corner to Gag's house. We were dressed head to toe in black, and I had a backpack full of tools I'd pulled from my husband's work shed.
Locking the front door. He's moving to the sedan, and he's inside the sedan. Starting the car.
Joan, I am literally sitting right next to you. I can see everything you see. Stop talking, or he'll hear you.
Copy that.
Gag's white sedan started and he pulled out the driveway. Joan and I held our breath as he drove towards our direction. He flipped his headlights on, illuminating the bushes we were crouched behind. The bushes weren't that thick, just some pink azaleas that had started to spring back to life after the flood. Suddenly, a cat jumped out of the same bushes we were in and ran directly into the street seconds from getting squashed by Gag's car. The car suddenly came to a stop, the headlights shining directly on us. Joan and I froze. Holding our breath, Gag unrolled his window, then got out the car. He walked around the perimeter of his car, looking underneath it, and he started to get back into his car, muttering,
"Stupid cat."
Suddenly, he turned and looked directly at us. We didn't move. We stared directly at him from behind the azaleas. It was a staring contest, except we couldn't tell if he actually saw us or just felt something. It seemed to go on forever, but he finally got back into his car and drove away. Oh my God.
Did he see us? He didn't, right?
I don't know. It was so weird.
Well, we've got about 20 minutes before he gets back from his taquito run. Let's go.
We quickly darted across the street and made our way to Gag's house. We found our way to the side gate where we found it was unlocked. Going through the front of the house would cause too much attention to be drawn to us. We snuck through the yard and up to the back door.
Hello? Anybody here?
Joan put her hand on the doorknob and turned. It didn't give as easily as the gate. It was locked.
Shit.
Hang on.
Should we break a window?
Wait. Joan started kicking the door. I walked around the perimeter of the house and started testing the windows until one opened. I shimmied through the window and into the house. I quickly found the back door as Joan was still trying to kick it down.
How'd you do that?
The bedroom is to the right, past the kitchen. We quietly made our way through the house, stopping for a moment to pet Gag's adorable cat. It's a very friendly orange tabby.
Hello, you big boy. Aren't you cute?
Let's go.
He's probably hungry.
We don't have time for this.
Are you hungry, big boy?
Joan started rifling through the cabinets.
Just a little bit of kibble.
There you go.
He gratefully rubbed against her legs before shoving his face into the bowl, leaving us alone. We found the master bedroom, which had been painted an ugly pickle green, and it reeked of sandalwood. I knew exactly where the safety deposit was because Trig had snapped a picture of it for me and texted it to me right before we left the house for the night. I found the painting of the giant sea turtle with a flower on its back. It was really a bad painting. It must have come from one of those paint-and-sip nights led by a perky artist-type girl named Saffron. I just turned my head away from the painting as I lifted it off the wall, and there it was, the safety deposit box nestled within a hole in the wall. I tried to pull it out, but it was bolted in. I chuckled to myself when I took a closer look at it. It was a cheap black box made of thin metal with a lid and a digital keypad. This should be easy to break into.
So what's the plan?
Joan reached over me and started punching the buttons on the box, trying to figure out a code. Don't bother with that shit, Joan. I pulled my backpack off my shoulder and started pulling out my arsenal. A jigsaw, a sledgehammer, and a blowtorch.
Katie, are you freaking kidding me? I thought you said this was going to be stealth. This is not stealth.
We don't have time for stealth, Joan. And I don't care what condition we leave this box in as long as I get my pill bottle. I picked up the blowtorch and a lighter. Why waste any more time than we have to?
A blowtorch?
Just go for the gusto, right? I held the small can up and twisted the valve lefty-loosey. A slight hissing sound of gas came from the nozzle, and then I clicked the trigger of the built-in lighter and it started up immediately.
I'll keep an eye out.
Joan went to the window and hid behind a curtain as I put the faint blue flame up on max on the torch. And then I put the flame directly on the safe deposit box. The box started to heat up. I could tell because the metal was turning bright red.
Hurry! He's going to be coming back! Are you finished?
Suddenly, a whole mess of spiders came out through the open cracks of the hole in the wall where the safety deposit box laid.
Ah! What the hell, Katie? Ah!
Spiders, there's a bunch of spiders here.
Well, kill them.
There must have been 30 of them pouring out the wall, trying to escape the heat from the blowtorch. I stopped burning the safety deposit box and started using the torch to burn them. Oh, they detected their imminent death and started to scatter, but I was too fast for them. I turned up that flame, killing off one after another like a video game.
Fire! Fire!
I turned to look where Joan was pointing. The whole wall was on fire. I was so busy killing spiders, I didn't realize that a corner of the wall where the hole for the security box was had caught fire. And it was burning really big.
Oh my God.
What do we do? Joan ripped the curtains down from the window and started hitting the flames with them, trying to put the fire out. But the curtains just caught fire and went up in a blaze themselves. She threw the curtains to get them away from her body to avoid going up in flames herself. But the curtains landed on Gag's bed, which set that on fire.
We gotta get out of here. Come on!
Joan bolted out the bedroom toward the back door. Instead of running after her, I grabbed my sledgehammer and started hammering the crap out of that security deposit box. I barely put a dent in it. Smoke was filling up the room. There was no way I was gonna get that pill bottle tonight. So, I decided the best thing to do to save myself from Gag, keeping that pill bottle and turning me in, was to just burn the whole damn house down. I turned the blowtorch on everything in the room. The rest of the curtains on the walls, the bathroom towels that were folded and stacked neatly on the floor, and I set the two bookcases full of antique-looking books on fire. The place was white hot and smoking, but I think I'd done enough to ensure that the safety deposit box and pill bottle inside it wouldn't survive the fire. I packed up my backpack with the blowtorch and jigsaw. I used the sledgehammer to smash Gag's bedroom window when all of a sudden, fuck. Gag's cat. Here, kitty, kitty. I chased him around the living room as the flames grew bigger and the whole place was filled with smoke. Get over here, you idiot. I had him pinned under the couch against the wall. Nowhere for him to go. I reached under the couch and grabbed him by the hind leg and yanked him out, jumping out the window of the back of the house. I ran through the backyard quietly as I could, holding the cat close. I saw Joan waiting for me behind the azalea bushes and I motioned for her to just run home. She nodded and took off running across the neighbor's yards, hidden by various landscaping before turning a corner and disappearing into the night. I headed to the side of my house and immediately took off all my clothes, dumped them into the trash bins, and in just my underwear, with the cat still in my arms, headed through the backyard and found my spare key from under the fake plastic rock by my back door. I ran up to the second floor of the house to my bedroom, jumped into the shower, washed off all the smell of smoke and soot, wearing just a towel around my body and a turban on my head. I quickly peeked out the window to take a look at Gag's house, which was going up in flames. My other neighbors were pouring out their homes, watching, desperately using their own hoses to put out the flames. I could hear the siren of the fire department's trucks making their way through the lower ridge towards us. It suddenly dawned on me that they would have an impossible time navigating the streets of the lower ridge to get up here to the upper ridge because there was still so much garbage piled in the streets from the flooded homes. Gag's white sedan pulled up slowly, and he parked in front of my house. I saw him get out his car, bewildered, and watched as he staggered towards his burning home. A neighbor had to hold him back as he watched his place burn to the ground. A shame. I'll make sure the HOA puts some community funds towards his motel stay while he looks for a new neighborhood to move to. It's the least I could do. Gag's cat. Evidence. I quickly got dressed and took the orange tabby to the garage, hopped in my car, and drove four houses down towards Gag's. I saw him standing in front of the house, frantically calling,
Tigger! Tigger!
I slowed the car and let Tigger out on the side of the road.
Tigger!
I watched as Tigger ran to Gag and bounded into his arms, together again.
Oh, Tigger, my beautiful, beautiful orange little tiger. I'm so glad you're alive, buddy.
The next morning after helping Katie accidentally burn down Gag's house, I got into work at the financial office and remembered that I hadn't checked in with Nancy as promised after teaching her to short her stocks. I gave her a call. She didn't pick up the first time, so I dialed her again.
Downey, what is it?
Have you been watching your position, Nancy?
I'm at the spa. You've really got to try this new massage they do. Ginger and turmeric.
I logged online. Oh my God. From my reports, I could tell her stock shares have tanked. I just prayed she had been on top of it. If she didn't sell, she has moved into a loss scenario. I started to sweat. There was no way around it. When was the last time you checked your position?
I don't know, a couple of days.
I wanted to throw up. I told you to keep an eye on it! Now you've moved into a loss!
What? Oh my God. I've got egg and cucumber on my face!
You sure do, Nancy.
Let me check.
I held my breath as I heard her talking to someone.
Stop touching me! Let me up! I need to look at my phone. Can you give me something for my hands? Oh, I can't hold my phone properly. It's got oil all over my hands. Give me a towel, damn it!
I heard the phone drop to the floor, but didn't hang up.
Where's my phone? Turn on the lights! Damn it, I can't find my stupid phone!
I listened as Nancy grabbed the phone and started tapping on the keyboard. Then silence.
Oh,
no.
I'm down, Joan!
Just get home now. Meet me at your house. I'm leaving the office now, and I'm on my way to you. We'll fix this.
I've got to call the trading desk!
No! Nancy, do not call the trading desk. The phone went dead as she hung up on me. I dialed her again, but she didn't pick up. I rushed out of the office, did a mad dash to meet Nancy at her house so I could coach her through the next steps she would have to take to recover her loss through the next trade. As I was speeding over to her house, I got a call I did not want to get.
$500,000. Joan! $500,000! I just got off the phone with Nancy Williams. Do you know Nancy Williams?
Yes, I know her.
Of course you do, because she's your client, Joan, and you just blew up her account.
Well, I would say she blew it up.
She called into the firm, panicking, and reached the trading desk. The trading desk offered to send you a message to reach out to Nancy to help her, But then Nancy yelled at the rep, why would I talk to her? She's the one that got me into this mess.
I can explain.
You don't have to. She already told me everything. That you planned a short and that you had taken her through the steps to do it.
Fucking Nancy threw me under the bus. It wasn't just me. She told me to do it.
I have clients every day asking me to do illegal shit for them. And do you know what I tell them?
No.
Exactly. I tell them no. It's one powerful little word that I say over and over so that no client of mine ever tries to drag me into some nonsense like this. We will be looking at the trades Nancy has made in her account, and I would like to see you in my office tomorrow morning. And Joan?
Yes?
You're fired.
I went home and sat in my whalebone house and cried hysterically for a good hour. Just laid on the concrete floor and cried and stared up into the bald rafters of the house. I realized all of these horrible things that happened I had brought on myself because I needed to be in control after the hurricane. It wasn't about helping other people. It was about how I needed to have a sense of power over my life again. But to gain power over my life doesn't happen when I'm focusing all my energy controlling what others think, say, or do. I needed to make things right, to undo the damage I'd done to others in order to move forward. The first thing I had to fix was Nancy's stocks. I drove over to the Upper Ridge to her house and knocked on the door. When she opened it, she looked like she'd been crying as much as me. Nancy, I'm sorry. I'm so, so, so sorry. Let me in.
I don't want to talk to you.
I screwed up big time. I know I hurt you, and seeing you in trouble like this is killing me, and I wouldn't blame you for never speaking to me again. But the fact is, your account is still bleeding funds. You need me to help you. I know some great turnaround stocks that can help you bring your numbers back up.
Okay.
She let me in, and together we walked through her portfolio. I even was able to make her smile by the end, especially when we moved her investments into the green market.
Thank you for helping me. It really was my fault. You told me to watch the stocks. I guess it takes more than a monkey to do trading after all.
You're probably right, but I wouldn't have told you that while I was still employed.
I'm sorry I got you fired.
I hated trading anyway. I need a new career.
You know, buying these green stocks makes me feel real good. I'm wondering, while you're in my portfolio, you think you could transfer another $100,000 to Darla's church? And this time put it under my name?
Not anonymous?
I want to be remembered for only good things moving forward. A little rebranding would be good for my image.
I clicked on a few buttons in her portfolio. Done. And while you're in the mood for some goodness, do you think you could put in a good word for me with Linda at FEMA to get my house renovations moving?
Oh, girl, you didn't hear? I've decided to leave my post at the city council. I am done with politics. Maybe you should take my spot.
As I bid Nancy goodbye, she gave me a hearty, God bless you, hung across on her front door, and went on to start her new life as the born-again patron saint of the Nancy Williams Church of Christ. It's amazing how quickly God performs miracles. Before I left the Upper Ridge, I had to swing by Gag's house to see what transpired from the fire. When I pulled up to the house, I was shocked to see just how much damage was sustained. The entire roof was burned clear through. Burned beams and ash covered every inch of the floor, and pops of color stood out from melted furniture. Piles of Gag's things were stacked on top of each other in a big black pile of ash. As I looked around, it struck me that Gag and I were now playing on the same team. Like me, he had lost everything through no control of his. Like me, he is spending his nights down at the local motel trying to wrap his brain around just how he's going to rebuild his life. To just get back to normal. It's the same all-too-familiar ritual. I looked down. The security box was at my feet under a blanket. It was smoldering. I edged it open with my foot. The heat from the flames must have expanded it and made it pop open. Katie's pill bottle was in there. I reached in and pulled the bottle out. It was in perfect condition. There was some rustling coming from another part of the house, and I waited quietly. Katie appeared. She was both surprised and relieved to see me.
What a mess, huh?
You're telling me.
Returning to the scene of the crime?
I'm doing my rounds of penance. I just left Nancy's after offering a bucketful of apologies.
What'd you do to her?
Long story. How about I tell you over coffee?
Sounds great. Before we go, I wanted to see if I could locate the security box I've been looking off and on all day.
Haven't seen it.
Drat. I wanted to make sure I got to it before Gag came back and found it.
Maybe it melted in the fire.
God, I hope so. Not knowing is absolutely torture. I keep worrying, what if he has it? I don't like that feeling that somebody has something over me.
I gripped the pill bottle in my hand. My mind was swirling with what I should do. I was here to make amends to everyone, to Nancy, to Gag, to Katie. So I reached into my front pocket and pulled out the two ballots that Betty had been hiding. There's something I have to tell you. I held up the ballots and handed them to Katie. She looked confused. I found these ballots at Betty's. She must have been hoarding them after the election. She committed election fraud. Katie looked them over closely. You can see they're both votes for you, which means that you won the HOA election by these two votes. You're the rightful Cypress Creek president. Katie's eyes twinkled for a moment. A smile spread across her face, and then she laughed really, really hard.
Oh my gosh, Joni! I wish you'd found these ballots yesterday. Didn't Nancy tell you? She's quitting city council, so there's a spot to fill, and I want it. I just filed the paperwork this morning.
You're running for city council?
I'm moving up, baby. HOA president was so yesterday.
But Nancy told me to run. She just told me 20 minutes ago, you should take my spot.
Huh. She told me the same thing. Awkward.
Well, we've competed in the past and our friendship made it through. I don't see why we can't do it again.
You're right. Let's just promise to keep it clean and be happy for whoever wins. Agreed?
Agreed. Now, let's go have that coffee so I can tell you all about Nancy finding out her stocks tanked while she was on the massage table.
Let me guess. It was a real slippery situation.
As we walked back to her place, I slipped the prescription pill bottle from Gag's security box in my pocket. Some things can't be repaired.
Cypress Creek is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, Dan Benamore, and Laura Summers. Executive produced by Lynn Jenkins. Written and directed by Laura Summers, based on Hurricane Harvey, Overcoming the Chaos by Lynn Jenkins. The book is available on Amazon. A link is in the show notes. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Joel Lippman. Original music by Derlis Gonzalez. Starring Carolina Bonetti as Katie and Annie Abrams as Joan. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes.